Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined here in the studios by Talia Brahms.
Happy Martin Luther King Day, everyone.
And in from our Atlanta studios, John Levine.
Yeah, the home of Martin Luther King.
That's right. And happy Martin Luther King Day. I posted something on Facebook which basically said, you know, perhaps this would be a good day to just take a walk, smile at everybody you see. You'll remember we're all in this together.
Yes, it was,
you know,
very kumbaya.
And let's walk away from the righteousness and the politics and nonsense, you know, and just realize, you know, let's worry about ourselves and our families. That's where we should every day focus on. And then, you know, somehow make this another civilization, or a normal civilization, whatever. But, you know, you're in Atlanta. So, by the way, today on in Miami, somebody posted on Facebook that there was all these guys on motorcycles. Running around and stopping traffic, and I don't, you know, people are like, what are they doing? I'm like, looks like they're just creating a ruckus in a sense without, looks like they're not really breaking anything. They're just driving around and
like in defense of Martin Luther King Day, or what is this?
Well, it was like a rally. I mean, that's what the Sun Sentinel said, because it was planned. Like, they knew it was going to happen, because somebody yesterday, I guess in preparation for it, died when they got fell off their ATV or something.
Oh yeah, that's right. I heard that. But there was guys on ATVs, motorcycles, dirt bikes. You know, rope, like packs on the street, like riding wheelies, and then they would just stop a block, like a whole area, like on the road, like just keep going back and forth through the intersection or through, just
nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, part of me was like, whatever, as long as nobody's getting hurt or not breaking anything, who gives a shit? They're wannabes. What are they going to do? This is a cool way of showing who we are. We're bikers and we're. And we don't have day jobs.
No, it's nonsense. No,
yeah.
I mean, ridiculous. Miami traffic and, you know, getting around in that area is really hard enough.
Right. It's an inconvenience.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for something. Now, there's no cops. They were showing this video for several minutes, and you don't see any cops rolling up trying to, you know. Did you see any cops in the video footage you saw, John?
I haven't seen. I read that article this morning. Yeah. Like, I wasn't even aware of it until I read that article this morning.
Yeah, it was going on up until the time right now, just before we started recording the show here in the afternoon. You know, but like I said, you know, it's fine. You watch it, but if you're sitting there in traffic, especially in Miami, and you're dealing with a bunch of guys on fucking motorcycles running around, like, you know, oh, we're cool. You know, it's like, you know.
No.
Yeah.
I'm pretty tolerant, but not, no.
I was waiting for somebody to lose and start, you know, shooting.
Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't.
You know, some guy in a red, all of a sudden it's a bad moment where a guy in a, like a big old pickup truck with a rebel flag in the back, you know, a big old 4x4 just goes plowing through everybody.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Clearly, he didn't read your post about just smiling at everybody and trying to bring everybody together.
If he had done that, no, he wouldn't have. Or he had read it and said, fuck that guy, I'm doing what I want anyway.
Right.
It was in protest to your post.
You know, and, you know, I saw a video, I put it on our fan page on Facebook about, they interviewed, it was a Russian news agency of some sort, was interviewing Steven Seagal. And, because, he has ties in Russia, he's back and forth, you know, this guy's a world guy, he's not, you know, he's if anything. And he was, what was that the point I wanted to make with that? Because it had to do with what we were just talking about. God dang it. Any rate.
All right. Well,
but basically, you know,
he was on Russian TV about Alzheimer's awareness. Is that what it was?
Yeah, he was talking about the forgetting things. You know, from all that hair dye he's putting in. But at any rate, I don't know. But it was just interesting to see that. You know, and you know, the idea was, you know, it wouldn't be like it. Maybe one way maybe one way there could be peace in the Middle East is if United States and Russia are like, you know, like friends, you know, like in other words, like, you know what I mean? Like they that's like siblings you can control in the Middle East. You know, if you have the two world powers kind of working together somehow, if it's possible. I mean, you know, again, it's just something out there. Like when you think about it, like how else, you know, there's a bunch of shit going on. Like this thing they announced in Israel, right, John? What happened in the United Nations where something regarding the Palestinians and the Israelis was just announced on the 15th.
Well, the Palestinians have there's always been a resolution for the Palestinians
for
the UN to endorse a two-state solution. And up until this point, the United States has voted against that resolution. So it's never actually passed. So the Palestinians are looking for basically recognition that you know, they feel a two-state solution would be the best, you know, way forward, and wanted the United Nations to agree. And you know, I mean, it's not just the U.S., but part of the vote that was stopping that from, you know, passing was the U.S. In this latest round, the U.S.
refrained,
abstained from the vote.
Yeah, just didn't,
they didn't vote against it. They just abstained from the vote, which allowed, because it was it's obviously a very close vote, and that allowed the resolution to pass.
So now there's a goal for a two-state.
Well, no, it's just now the UN now recognizes the Palestinian state as being part of a two-state solution. Before, there was no official recognition.
Yeah, and that's why Israel's ticked off.
Exactly. Now, well, basically what we're saying is now they're recognizing that they submitted a petition for it. Like, it's not something that doesn't exist. We know it's there, and you know, it's something we're going to have to address at some point.
Right. Well, but the other there's another part of it, which is part of that resolution basically says that Israel should stop building settlements in the West Bank, because if we're going to use this, you know, go to this two-state solution, then that's part of the Palestinian territory.
You're going to have to tear it down and put up shit shacks. Right. Yeah. You know, you're going to have to tear down the really beautiful buildings and let them build their shit shacks. You know, build the huts and the fucking, you know,
the huts.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's no reason to think that they couldn't also build, given the resources, build the same types of buildings. I mean, they're very much.
Well, you know, the
resources are limited by what Israel allows in and out of the territory.
In the 80s, sometime they got the Gaza. They got a port. You know, Israel gave away the Gaza Strip, and you know, some people say, well, look, they've had this land, they've done nothing with it. You know, and then other people say on the other side, well, that's because the Israelis control what materials they receive and what they don't receive, and this kind of thing. Which, you know, there's other. You know, it's like saying, you know, I can't buy lumber at Home Depot, but I just can't go to Lowe's to get it. I mean,
well, No. It's not like saying that, because Israel controls what comes in and out of that territory. So if they don't want any heavy lifting equipment, because they said, well, they're going to use this to build bunkers and attack the Israelis,
right,
then no bulldozers go in, no concrete goes in. You know what I mean? It's not a matter of, well, we can't get it here, so we're just not going to get
that,
it.
Do
it's
you
a
think,
matter of we can only get it here.
Do you think that's a fear Israeli has a good reason for feeling that? That's the reason they use, but do you think that's a good reason based on the history that might, or do you think they're just being a bit like, you know?
Yeah, this is a really
tough
territory here.
Well, no, you know, the book that John doesn't believe in, the Bible, is actually scripture. It talks about how there's going to be a two-state, so, you know, they're talking about there's going to be a joining in the two-state and recognition, and that's blah, 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 and it goes on. But, you know, who knows? I don't know. And again, I don't want to bore our listeners with the Middle East. Right. They don't want it. They said, no way can it exist, because they tried to live next to these folks for how long? And it doesn't seem to be working out. You know, hey, back to Martin Luther King Day. It was interesting, you know, that, you know, Martin Luther King's third son or something had gone to visit Trump.
Right, Martin Luther King is really Martin Luther King Jr.
Right,
so his son is the third. Yeah,
right. So he, you know, somebody said to me, one of my liberal friends says, "Oh, he only did this to try to save his relationship with what he said about, you know, Lewis." I go, "No, I don't think so, because Martin Luther King Jr. invited him on January 8th, which preceded the tweets between him and what's his Lewis first name? Jim Lewis? What's
John Lewis.
You know, he had that spat. He's all talk, that thing. But that Martin Luther King Jr. invited him back on January 8th. So I said, you can't say that the Trump campaign put this whole thing together. Matter of fact, Martin Luther King Jr. invited Trump, but they didn't want to go out to the memorial. They said, let's come here to Trump Tower instead. And that's when they met. But it was interesting, though, after they got off, because most of the time when Trump gets off an elevator with somebody, he goes up to the cameras and it's a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk or whatever, even with Kanye, right? When Kanye, they came out, hey, what's up? Woo, you know, whatever.
Right, photo and, op.
Exactly. But this time it didn't happen.
Good. Classy-er.
Well, I mean, I thought that was interesting. I noticed it at first. I'm like, well, that's interesting. And then some people were saying how it's, well, he knows he's going to, you know, the questions are going to be out. And here's the thing that bugged me, okay? Yeah, and it may have been a good call because the only thing, instead of asking, hey, did you, what have you gotten out of this? Did you, you know, did you feel this is going to be, blah, blah, whatever. The reporters are asking, how do you feel, you know, from what he said about Lewis, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, like just conjuring up more shit as opposed to saying, you know,
no, I heard that too. They were on certain networks. They were just asking like very like one-sided kind of loaded questions for
now,
sure.
Now, would you agree with that, John? And in a sense,
which part?
Well, the part that, you know, like some like out of all the questions to ask.
Look, the bottom line is if you ask, hey, did you think you got something out of this? What's he going to say? I mean, you know what the answer is going to be.
Well,
you know, it was great.
What do you mean?
It was a productive talk.
Wait a minute.
Hopefully
forget about the outcome. What about the moral concern? If I'm a human being and I want to know why Martin Luther King Jr. and Trump, the first thing I want to know is what they talk about. What did they accomplish? Did they feel that? Do you feel Trump knows what he's doing? Do you feel you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit there and automatically be assumptive. Hold on a second.
But that's a question you ask Martin Luther King III.
Well, they did ask him that. They asked him that. They didn't have a chance to ask Trump anything. They asked Martin Luther King Jr. that, and that's the point we're saying.
Right.
They asked him. They wanted to ask him how he felt about Trump's tweets. You're talking to the son of Martin Luther King, and you're asking him a question that's basically self-serving to your interest about the guy, as opposed to you have a meeting between Martin Luther King Jr. III and the president-elect and a racially divided time in our country, and the thing this fucking douchebag reporter wants to ask is how he felt about what he had said.
Well, yeah, okay, his response.
That's not newsworthy.
His response
I think it's stupid.
Martin Luther King's response was actually like very classy, like towards that.
Yeah.
He was like, well, listen, like obviously what he said was wrong, but
no,
we're
he
not
said,
here
listen, every, and
that.
In a moment of heat, you know, people say things. And,
yeah.
And that to me was the most grown up thing because that's the way this country needs to be. Look, lighten up, everybody, you know, yeah, stop being so fucking judgmental. That's the problem with it. Everybody's so ready to fucking critique everybody else. Meanwhile, he who throws the first stone, you know. Everybody wants to keep talking about other people, but they don't realize that, fuck you. Who are you to fucking judge or what somebody says or anything? You know, it's time to lighten up. And that's the point. And you know, is it newsworthy? So it is newsworthy, right, John? Let's stir things up. Let's continue divide so this country doesn't move on. I think, is that what we're looking for?
Rationale. Hold on. By that rationale, the president-elect said something. This reporter was following up with a person who was intimately involved with the person things were said about.
Right.
So years ago.
There's a past, but aside from that past.
People would like to know how this person felt
really?
About it because
really?
He was intimately involved with the person
who was said about. You really, Ron, you really think. Now, let me ask you, if you think that's what people really want to know versus whether or not they got anywhere from that meeting.
That's the only thing they want to know.
No. Hold a second.
That question is illegitimate.
Listen, you can ask how big are your feet. That's a legitimate question, whether it goes somewhere
or not.
It's
not newsworthy.
Well, John, you're changing this. You said it's a legitimate question. You go from describing
what's a newsworthy. I said it's newsworthy.
It's all right, John. Good.
Him asking that question is newsworthy.
All right, Sean, here, calm down. It's newsworthy. I'll give you that. It's a newsworthy question. It's a legitimate question. My question is to you. Those and you said people want to know: are these people shallow, John, or are these people? Really have the best interest in what where we're living in this country.
I don't even know who these
well,
people
you
are.
Seem to know
people.
That it's a noteworthy. It's this. You seem to. You also said that people want to know. So if you, how could you sit there and say something? How can you sit there and say? How can you sit there and say? Well, the good. How can you sit there and say? Then stop talking. Then how could you sit there and say that you know it that these people. All want to, you know, that they this is a question they want to know, but then you could say, how do I know whether they're this or that? You go from one perspective to another.
You're such an idiot.
When it's convenient, when it's convenient for you, then you hide behind how do I know? But when you think you know, then you're glad to proclaim that you know.
People are shallow. How would I know if people are shallow?
Because you
answer me that. How would I know that?
Because you seem to be defending the fact that this important question, this so important question.
I'm defending the fact that the question was newsworthy and it was a legitimate question to ask. No. I didn't say that's the only question that reporters should have asked.
We went down a road and you bellowed away.
With him asking that question at all.
Talia, don't you think there was many other questions that could have been asked at that point?
Yes, there
that
question shouldn't have been asked.
Yeah, I mean, John was saying that, but I think that you guys are sort of like mistaking like legitimate and newsworthy versus like, I guess like a, you're kind of ranking like a question that's better to ask than others. Like, I think like this was, I think personally, yeah. I mean, that out of all the questions you could have asked first or before that, I mean, there were way better ones.
My point that this person has a moment in time, right? There's only so many things you could do at that moment. You know, this is in our country's period on Martin Luther King Day. You know, this reporter has a chance to ask questions, and as John said, newsworthy, stirring the pot. You know, let's just keep this grumbling going, as opposed to, where do we get from this? In other words, it's newsworthy in that it's shit news that I just want to like soapy up the dirty up the water, and let's just talk about the dirt. I don't think that person has. With all the other things that could be asked. That delegitimizes
so
the importance.
Network and get
no, I don't need to do that. I'm pointing out that, and eventually, what's going to happen is this is where media.
That this guy asked
this
the
is,
wrong question first. That's
no,
what, this
what I'm saying
about.
Is what I'm saying is that professionally and to defend it, as opposed to saying, "Look, you're right. Somebody else should have asked much more important questions that I really wanted to hear. Like, did you get anywhere? Do you feel comfortable? Do you see hope?" This is what I want to know.
But those are the questions that are important to you.
Okay, John, but not to the rest of the world. But the rest of the world wants to know whether or not, hold on a second, John. The rest of the world wants to know. Are you pissed about what the guy said? Do you think he's a dick for what he said? Come on, John. Don't be you're a fucking, now you're just being a fucking putz about it.
Why are you yelling?
Because you're so full of shit. I'm just sick of it. You can't just sit there and say that this fucking guy, you got yourself into a corner when I asked you if it's shallow. It's shallow for people to wonder if the guy's upset about a guy's comment about somebody's tweet.
It's a newsworthy question.
It's not. It's a ridiculous question, John.
You're the one getting all worked up.
I'm getting worked up because when you sit there and have a conversation with somebody and all they do is they keep running about, then, I can't say that now. But you just go down a point.
You get this way when you don't like the answer.
No, John, I get this way when I don't need an answer. Your answers or my answers don't make a difference in my life. What points out is a simple point that this fucking guy was stupid in his question. This is a moment in time in our history where everybody involved, every fucking player in the world right now is involved. And our job and our duty is not to sit there and stoke the fires of fucking hatred amongst our job is to move on and try to make my world a fucking better place. And if anybody else thinks that, if anybody else thinks that's the way it is, John, that's not the way it is.
How much experience do you have working in the news business? I'm curious.
Okay, John, let's get into this shit now. I'm a 49-year-old man. I've seen enough fucking news. I don't need to know how shit sells. I watched movies that talk about that, I don't need to know. I know there's tabloids, and I know the difference to how many people buy a fucking Sun newspaper versus a Washington Post. What's that, John?
Said I've watched movies on time travel. It doesn't make me a time travel expert.
Okay, good point, John. Boy, that's really, such an educated guy that you make such a stupid fucking analogy. A police stupid analogy.
Why are you so worked up?
I'm worked up because it's a simple point. And if I'm talking to somebody on my fucking radio show, just to point out the fact that, is this yelling or am I talking loud? So this is a little, this is where John goes into his pussy mode. I'm a victim. I'm a little fucking pussy. And I'm going to say this guy's yelling when, in fact, you don't like it because no one's buying your little nonsensical, right, sharp-angled questions to go down these roads you like to go down. And then you pull the fucking plug out of the water when you say, oh, I don't know what you're saying. You know what? That's ridiculous. That's stupid. He has his own way. He has his own way of ending and starting shit.
You said stupid. You said ridiculous.
All right, guys.
I didn't say that.
This isn't going anywhere.
All I'm saying to you is, in our moment in time, I wanted to know how it went, and thank goodness for the man who is Martin Luther King Jr. III. He came out and said, "Look, He said it what it was. People say shit, you know, things happen. We all have those moments. But in the meantime, he seemed legitimately concerned about this. You know, we talked about this and we did this. Thank God that somebody put that fucking person in their place saying, look, this is what we did talk about. You didn't fucking ask, but this is what happened.
What organization were they from?
I don't know. And I don't care who it was. It was Fox, CNN. I don't give a fuck who it is. I'm not biasly going either way.
I think it was CNN.
I have no idea.
I think. I don't know.
All I know is, that's the thing. I don't care about who they are and then labeling to where they're a liberal or conservative. I'm just pointing out. I know. But I'm telling you, I'm not going. I'm not just picking out what I want to pick out to make my points, unlike somebody I know. I'm pointing out that this was a ridiculous moment.
You didn't like
this question.
That's what you're pointing out. That's what this whole conversation's about.
Yeah. I thought right. Out of all
I'm
the things.
We wasted everybody's time.
Yeah. Well, it would have been nice if you said, yeah, if you would have been normal, and said, yeah, that was a pretty silly question to ask
agree with you and said, yeah, it was
no, ridiculous. Because because deep down inside you agree, but you just want to be oppositional because you're a liberal and you're so against Trump.
And if people disagree with that opinion, you yell and you cry and you say you're unfair and you're not saying these things and you get all worked up and it's ridiculous, frankly.
Yeah.
You just act ridiculous.
Okay, thanks, John.
Okay. What's the next topic?
Well, we'll let you know.
Oh, okay. I'll be
all right, guys. Let's get along now. Well, Martin Luther King Day.
Well, that's my point. It's like this is the thing. This is the way it is. When you're the only way that this world is going to work is we come to common ground. And this was an evident moment where we can't, because we're not talking about a completely right or wrong subject. We're not talking about something which will be written into the legislative books of our history. This is a situation. It's like a moment in time that's depictive of where we are. And I want to point that out. And, you know, I don't need to be told the ridiculously obvious. It's a newsworthy question. It's a legitimate question. No. I asked you, don't you think that there's so many other things that we really want to know than that?
Why you would ask that question. That's what you asked me.
All right.
And I gave you an answer. And you didn't
like
the answer.
Because there's people that want to hear that. Right. And then when you finally answered that, then I said, okay, so don't you think these people are a bit shallow? I don't know how they are, but I know they want to hear it, which is ridiculous. You know what people want to hear, but you don't know how they're feeling about it, or whether that be calling them shallow.
If this person asked him after meeting with Martin Luther King III, hey, so what do you think about Trump's, you know, the dossier that came out about Trump's Russian, you know, supposedly what was going on there. That, in that scenario, is not a newsworthy question.
It's inappropriate.
Because that's not the question.
It's inappropriate.
It's an inappropriate question. That's not the question
for
you should be asking.
For all types
of
levels.
Asking a person who was familiar with the person that Trump was talking about is a completely legitimate, newsworthy question to that person.
Yeah, I agree. Let me point it to you this way. We're going to take a break. Me, as you point out, me being so inexperienced in the world of you know, media and newscasts and all kind of stuff, as you wanted to say, as inexperienced as I am, and I would know, being in that position, that what I would do is I'd say, how'd everything go? And by the way, with that being said, how did it feel going into a meeting knowing that this person had said this on Twitter?
Because you can do that guy's job better than
what I'm saying. That's the worst part about it, is that why would somebody like me hit that so obviously? Why would somebody like me like that would say that? That's what makes it the most ridiculous. It is my opinion, and I think that I could tell you that I think that would be the better way to do it. And I think that would have been,
but that's Doug's
opinion. Because that's really showing that, hey, we don't care what news organization we're from. We really want to know how this went. We don't want to just push our agenda on our questionings to you. And that's the problem with media. And that's the biggest problem with it right now. That's, you know, there's too many. Once media, as one of my long-time friends that said, older gentleman, he's in his 80s, says, the minute media and the news organizations became profit-based, it was over.
That's the whole reason why that question was asked, first of all, because, I mean, if he said, obviously, they're not great comments, and obviously you're asking Martin Luther King III, so he's going to say, you know, if he, you know, took the bait and was like, oh, it was the worst thing ever you could possibly say, fuck this guy. I mean, CNN, it would have the best story
ever. It was amateur in asking, like you just said, here's a man. You don't think that this guy, you're
that's how every outlet works.
And here's the real reason I'm saying this. Not only because what I am very experienced at is neurolinguistic programming and reading people and verbiage and temperament, that But you could tell that when he was asked the question, he was like, he actually had that expression on his face, like, "Why?" You know, like, this is discordant. You know, this isn't. You know, you could tell, you could see it. He was like, and it made him go into this.
Well, listen. Yeah, exactly,
and that's the point. That's why it was obvious. It wasn't just the way I think, but it was based on something I have experience with. So I'm just saying that it was ridiculous. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, where ridiculous happens. And I'm here with Talia Brahms.
Still here, everyone. I got you.
And John Levine,
who's unfortunately still here.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I was recently in El Paso, Texas, and I found myself a new home away from home. That's right, the Courtyard Marriott Airport, right there in El Paso. I was out working at the comic strip. Beautiful club, by the way. If you're ever in El Paso, you got to stop by. Great place. Beautiful hotel, big room, nice big TV. I got a room with a balcony. It was awesome. The place has a beautiful pool. They got a gym. I didn't use the gym, but it looked great. All the equipment looked magnificent. And of course, they serve Starbucks coffee 24 hours a day right there on the premises. But if you're a real diehard Starbucks nut, there is one right around the corner. You could walk to it. I didn't walk to it. But they got a great big parking lot. You can park and drive a little bit. Anyway, the Courtyard Marriott Airport in El Paso, Texas. Go out there and great staff. Meet them. Say hi. Tell them you heard it on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And I'm sure they'll fluff your pillow for you. The El Paso Courtyard Marriott Airport. Stop by and say hi.
Hey, this is John Levine, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, where I'm not always right, but Dougie is always wrong.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm here with Talia Brahms.
Good morning, everyone.
And John Levine from our studios in Atlanta.
What's going on?
By the way, this Thursday, going to be in Cumberland, Maryland.
Ah.
I'll be, along with John Levine, my opening act here, we'll be at the Rocky Gap Casino.
And it'll be nothing like that first segment, don't worry.
It's all for radio. I like to get it out of my chest. It like helps my heart rate.
It's all therapeutic, guys.
It is. You know, get to scream a little bit and talk loudly.
It's the workout for the day.
Yeah.
Get the heart pumping.
I got my cardio today. I'm sticking to my Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Nice. Did you ramp up in January, or has this been going on?
No,
for a while?
I mean, I've been trying to stay pretty steady. I got messed up when I traveled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with comedy, but this, you know, went Mondays, 7 in the morning.
Oh.
Do like 30 minutes of cardio. Today we did legs.
Nice.
So 4 or 5 different, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then ab work. And then another 30 minutes of cardio and stretching.
Not bad.
So, yeah, man, I got to listen.
So it's the diet, though, that kills you. Because I'm trying to be healthy and eat right and work out. And, I've lost like 7 or 8 pounds since January 1st. Yeah, but it's all diet.
My thing's portions. I don't want to change what I eat.
Yeah,
I don't want to dramatic. I just want to just.
Yep.
You know, and my wife's getting. I'm like, she makes these plates sometimes. Like
I know, I've seen.
Oh, you know, I'm like
crazy.
Like she reheated some pad thai we had. It was some take home we had, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna eat that. And then my stepdaughter sits there. And she makes like this beef with like spinach, and she goes, here, have some of this. I'm like, next thing you know, my plate looks like I'm on a buffet.
Everyone's going to try and derail you. I'm like, just do it, whatever.
What I eat has to fit in my hand. You know what I mean? Like in other words, if I'm going to eat something, it's got to be something I can't eat a steak bigger than, you know what I mean? I have to eat.
Oh, yeah, like your plate, portion.
Yeah, my plate can't be bigger than my hand.
Now I can't see it, but I guarantee you right now, Dougie's wearing one of those big foam fingers. So,
yeah, I got a catcher's mitt on.
He's just holding a pizza box.
I got a catcher's mitt on. And I got webbed hands. Anyway, you know, that's it. So I'm, you know, like I said, whatever is going to happen this going forward, because, you know, whatever all the kidding aside, Trump and all this stuff, listen, it is what it is. Everybody's got to live through it, whatever happens. So I'm hoping for the best. right? I'm hoping things get better for my own career. I'm hoping the industries and things, you know, I'm hoping that, I hope things don't go into calamity. And, you know, it's like, again, like when Obama got elected, I had Republican friends like, oh my God, we're going to everything. I'm like, calm the fuck down. You know what I mean? It's almost in the same, it's almost in the same light. You know, like everybody on the far ends are fucking freaking out, you know, and I'm just like, just fucking go with it. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping for that. So I said, you know what? The only thing I control is my health. I can't control what the fuck happens with my industry, my business, the politics. I can't control any of that. I can only control what happens with me. So
very true.
That's
well,
all.
Well, for the most part. Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's it. And then everything else will happen. But I got to be healthy. I got to be in good shape. I got to look good.
It's pretty zen outlook. That's good.
Yeah. But that's it. That's all I'm gonna, you know, that's all I'm going to worry about. You know, I'm not going to worry about, you know, changing people's thoughts. I'll leave that up to John. Here's some stories in segment two where we talk about things that I think are interesting. These are things that everybody's got to know about.
All right.
Like Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus announcing that they're done.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you ever go see a Ringling Brothers?
I did. Yeah. I did. But, you know, I was thinking about it, and with all the stuff that kids have these days, like with the iPad and this and that, like, yeah. No one really goes to the circus anymore. It's not really...
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
plus they got rid of the elephant acts.
Yeah.
That was it. That was their fucking, their headliner.
Yeah, it was like, kind of like a Blackfish effect almost. Like, people started learning about, like, the cruelty with the elephants, and yeah. They're like, nah, no thanks.
I felt bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not to mention, if you ever go see the greatest show on earth, the Ringling Brothers show, but mm-hmm. then you go to, like, a Cirque du Soleil show, you're like, ah, I don't know about that.
Well, they are totally different. But
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I personally much prefer Cirque du Soleil.
Right?
I saw the Michael Jackson one in Las Vegas, best show I've ever seen. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. They have one here now by the Hard Rock Stadium in
Curious.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
It does look really cool.
But you know, now think about all these clowns. Think of this as an industry,
right?
You know, I mean, I don't know how many people actually work for Ringling Brothers. Aren't they the same troupe that go all over the country, or they have like regional? Is it like a Renaissance festival where different people show up in different areas?
I imagine different people show up in different areas. I mean, I would imagine.
Yeah. Are you an expert on circuses, John? Can you help us with this fact or this information?
No. I know you're very surprised to hear that I'm not an expert on circuses. But
yeah.
No, unfortunately, I am not well-versed in that universe.
Do you see this as a good thing that there's no circuses? No more Ringling Brothers, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhat of an institution. I mean, it's been around for so long. It's always sad to see something like that go, that, you know, something that I saw as a child won't be experienced by future children. But on the other side of that, you know, keeping animals in cages was never, you know, as I got older and started to realize that was not a fun, aspect of it. So
I never really liked it. Like, it was just something to do with my family on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But, the whole time I was like, oh, it's cool to be here, and I'm eating popcorn, and there's an elephant. But it's not like I'm amazed by what's going on.
I think I saw them three times. Once, when I was in New York at Madison Square Garden,
mm-hmm.
and I had one of those little beanies with a propeller on it. I still have the picture.
So last week, basically.
Yeah. I had gone... I can't remember, like a group. I went to it once, like in my teenage years or something. Mm-hmm. And then my wife and I were dating. We took her daughter, you know, when she was little. Let's take her to a circus. So we took her to circus. But I remember when I was a teenager or whenever, 12, whatever it was, I think it was, they gave you a choice between toys. Like when you got there, like a light. You had the thing where you can like pull the cords and like this disc would spin and light up.
Okay, yeah,
like a reverse yo-yo kind of thing.
Right.
And then they had this thing like a flashlight that looked like a siren if you spun it. And I remember I was like perplexed, like, do I want the siren or I want the rope thing?
Right.
And I remember I was like, oh, you know, and I was like, I want the rope thing because everybody was getting the sirens. I thought I'm gonna get something different. And then I got that and everybody's fucking doing that. And I'm like, I'm sitting here like a dope, like I'm playing an accordion. So I just little part of my. Circus
See,
history.
Well, there you go. It brought back some memories.
Yeah.
I think we've finally gotten to the bottom of things, folks.
Yeah, now we all understand. This was a touching story about the girl who lived in Jacksonville who was abducted when she was a baby and then brought to South Carolina, one of the Carolinas.
I was just listening to this news story before I got to the studio.
Yeah, teen to reunite with birth parents after allegedly being abducted by a woman she thought was her mom.
Yeah, she's going to need some therapy for a little bit.
You know, it's weird. I vaguely remember the story from when it happened. when I heard, because the minute I heard it, I go, I kind of remember that somebody said somebody just walked away with a baby in a hospital.
Oh my God.
I mean, I understand this happens a lot.
Does it? Is this a thing, John?
I mean, it's happened before. I don't know. I mean, what's a lot?
Well, I'm not going to say it happens 10 times a day, but I mean, like, you would think it should never happen. That's what I mean.
I think
when
if
you
it
say,
happens
when,
more than once, it happens.
That's what I'm saying. It happens, like, more often than you would think, like, you know, in a sense. But family and friends were shocked that the child that Gloria Williams raised since she was a baby is not her own, as the teen waits to reunite with her real parents. Williams, who's 51, allegedly abducted Camilla Mobley, whose name is now Alexis Meningo, when she was just 8 hours old after posing as a nurse on July 10th of 1998, according to the officials. I remember the story.
Wow.
They knew that somebody, that this whole thing, it's weird how you, now they find, like, isn't that weird?
So like, she just abducted a baby to raise it. Like, she's like a, well, she's obviously not normal, but she just, like, normally raised this kid and, oh, yep, I'm your mom. And there we go. That was that.
She had suffered, Williams had suffered a miscarriage about a week before. She drove 3 hours from South Carolina to Florida and allegedly took Meningo. So she was like all depressed. She fucked, you know, she had a miscarriage and fucked up and didn't want to tell anybody. Maybe she didn't want to tell her man at the time. Said, oh, I had the baby. Look.
let me just make a 3 hour yeah. trip real quick.
Yeah. I was in labor for 3 hours.
I'll come back with her.
What's these toll receipts for? Meningo was 18, was identified earlier this week through DNA. That's the amazing part. Like, how the fuck, like, that's the thing that's great about, like, now after all these, like she had no idea. The kid had no idea. Right. I mean, sometimes you look at, you think your kids think they're adopted because you look at your parents and go, fuck, I'm not that ugly. You know?
Yeah, yeah. There's been times where, like, my mom's screaming or something and I'm like, there's no way we share blood.
Yeah.
There's no way. But, I mean, that is, how did this, like, come about? Like, she was living with her mom, and then what brought this discovery?
That's the thing. The authorities came and informed her. Like, they.
But,
they,
like, how, why was this, like, brought into the stratosphere?
How did the authorities
here?
Find out?
Yeah.
Look at the story of the other ways. Let's see. Meningo, 18, was identified earlier this week through a DNA test after two leads led police to South Carolina, where Meningo was living with Williams, according to. So somebody, I guess some investigation was still underway.
So it was like an open investigation, yeah. And then they got a lead from
18 years.
That's crazy. Wow.
That cop, those cops must have been pissed. Like, I mean, happy now, but imagine after 18 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's how, like, most murders are before DNA. Everything was just kind of like, well, we found nothing. And then when DNA came out, or the testing, that's when all of them were closed.
And there's family members that are in denial, that don't believe it, you know, like most of the people.
And it's sad for the girl, too. I mean, this is the only mother, the only family that she's known.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what I read, they didn't really get into, like, any mistreatment or anything like that of the girl.
Right.
So, I mean, all of a sudden, if you wake up one day and they're like, oh, no, this is not really your real family. This is your real family.
Well, that's
in
what
fact, not only
know.
Is this not your real family, but they abducted you. They're crazy
well, right.
criminals.
Well, of course.
And you
of
love
course.
Them.
But again, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. So no, that, you're just like, oh, okay, now I love these people.
Okay? Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That, like, you know, they didn't do anything to her, but someone's telling her, oh, yeah, they're criminals.
18 years of, like, you know, nurturing and right. just being around somebody all of a sudden. But you're right. Like how fucked up would that be to find out, like, you one day somebody comes and say, hey, by the way, this isn't your mom. This lady stole you from a hospital when you were born, and we know who your real mom is. Like
she better become a stand-up comedian. That's shit right there.
You know, but, yeah, so like now would she be able to transition? What if she goes to a real mom and her real mom's an asshole?
Well, right.
You know, she goes over there, her mom beats her and drinks and, like, you know.
You know, it's like finding out, like, that you know, your mom cheated, you know, when she was married to your dad, and the person she cheated with got her pregnant, you know, and all of a sudden your dad is not your real dad. I mean, does that right. matter, you know?
Khloe Kardashian.
Well, that's
does that happen?
It's not. Everybody it, it's a rumor,
OJ
but
banger.
Come on. Look at, like, all of the siblings. Not, you know, not that I, like, watch their show or whatever, but if you just, like, look at the siblings and then look at Khloe, it's like she's not related.
Yeah, she's
to
got
them.
Running back in her. Or her mom had a running back in her.
I couldn't pick Khloe Kardashian out of a lineup, so.
Yeah.
You will once I just say, pick the one that doesn't belong.
But Lamar wants her back, by the way. Lamar Odom was on, Today Show or something like that. He got interviewed, and he's like, I want my wife back.
Yep, I saw that.
I banged all the whores. I want her back. That's what happens.
A guy got after, out of my system.
After you fucked all the girls you possibly can, that's when you want your girl back. Like, you're the only one who understands me.
Yeah, I fucked everyone. He cheated on her, like, almost the whole time, apparently.
Yeah, well, come on. He's an NBA player. He's a professional athlete, you know.
Could still be faithful.
I know, but there's a lot of NBA wives and there's a lot of professional athlete wives that kind of like, you know, it's almost like a mafia thing. You know, they kind of have, they think maybe it's like rock and rolls, like rock and roll stars that are married, you know, God forbid. Sometimes they're like, yeah, you know, honey, I'm going to be over there over the pond. I'm going to stick more, you know what I mean? You know, I don't know. I've never been a rock star. I don't want John to fact check me or anything. But, I would imagine that's
there was some, like, VH1 Behind the Music or something. And, like, there was one rock star wife. I think it was, like, Slash's wife or something. And she's like, as long as he comes back to me, I don't care what he does.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't need to know checks. Anything. Yeah. As long as he comes home to me at the end of the night, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's delicious. That's great.
Yeah. Here's another story. I as a fight fan, they say it won't happen, but Floyd Mayweather... was offered $25 million to fight MMA champion Conor McGregor. And no one thinks this is going to happen. I know you guys aren't fight fans.
Not really.
But, yeah. You know, Conor McGregor is a beast, you know, in the octagon. But, you know, I mean.
Hasn't Floyd Mayweather not lost a single fight in his life?
Yeah, well, there's a couple fights that people thought he may have lost that he got the decision on, but he ended up winning. You know, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say that, you know, once you get a decision, you actually won,
mm-hmm.
unlike some people. But I, you know, the thing that was disgusting, like when he fought Pacquiao last fight, he just ran, you know what I mean? He's not excited. Like he's evasive as shit. I mean, he's like Neo on Matrix when it comes to punching him. I mean, the guy is just incredible. When it comes to a fighter skills,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a good, but he's not like a knockout. You know what I mean? Just frustrate. It's like anything. He frustrates the shit out of somebody, and then, yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if Conor McGregor can match him like hand to hand. If he could fight, like he can use kicks or something, then I think it'd be no contest. I think he'd beat the fuck out of him. Because when somebody's ducking around and bobbing and weaving, you just throw a low kick, and there goes the bobbing and weaving.
This is like Japanese to me.
Right. All right. So I put your hands up.
All right,
like we're fighting. Okay. Now look. Okay. Look. Now if I was going to punch you.
Right.
That's a jab. Right. I'm going to hit you in the face. But if you're really quick and I keep missing, I get frustrated. You know what the fuck. But if every time you did, I could just fucking kick you in the legs. I don't have to. I could just throw a low kick at you when you're moving around like this, and I'm going to kick you, and you're going to be. Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Walking out of this fight.
Yeah. I didn't think this conversation could get more boring for the listener, but it has.
Yeah, awesome. it has to do with athletics, which you have nothing, you have no knowledge of.
Right. No, teaching Talia how to do a low kick on a radio show.
Well, it's fun. Yeah, well, because
let me call Joe Rogan. We can get him on.
But there's a lot of people that have imagination that you may not be aware of that would pick go through with that. all right. The FBI arrests the wife of the killer of everybody at Pulse Nightclub.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of Omar Sateen.
Right.
Yeah.
Obstruction of justice. Now, or the investigation. Didn't everybody, like, we knew this was coming. Like, if you're married and your husband puts this thing together, there was going to be signs.
Well, I mean, one would assume, but none of that information came out. And she just said, oh, I didn't know. And then now it's coming out. Oh, well, yeah, he did mention that he wanted to do something.
Right.
And he did say he was going to go out that night. And he bought her
some conflicting parts of her story.
He bought her like a really nice piece of jewelry, I think, before that night. I would assume as like a, well, here goes nothing type of gesture.
Yeah, and it's nice knowing you.
Yeah.
If I don't come back tonight, honey, I was out jihading.
I mean, if you really want to speculate, obviously she knew stuff. Yeah, but
she's
she
going
just...
to jail. Just like the guy in the San Bernardino, right? Didn't his brother or something get arrested? Because he probably helped. He helped like a somebody from Russia get married or get citizenship.
Oh, sounds familiar, but I don't really remember.
So, anyway. So good for her. I'm glad they took care of that. And where are we on time? Seven. All right. This is a story I think John will interest John a little bit, but stark inequality. Oxfam says 8 men as rich as half of the world.
Oh, yeah, I read that this morning.
Right? So, in other words, there's 8 men on this earth that have more money than half the world itself.
Yeah, I think I saw that this morning as well. I didn't read it.
Yeah, like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Carlos Slim,
Bloomberg.
Yeah. Like, you know, and, you know, which breaks, it just brings up the question about, you know, this gap between the haves and the have-nots. So it kind of understand that you understand now, right? Like there's more rich people and there's more, I don't know if you can get poorer than poorer, right? There's more poor people.
Well, the disparity. The disparity is larger than, you know, the middle class and, you know, people that might have stuff, but not,
I mean,
everything.
You look at a guy like Bill Gates. Yeah. He's a billionaire, but he's got a pretty good program going on where he's trying to use that money. I mean, you know, right.
Also, Warren Buffett. Yeah.
Right. These guys donate. They're incredible. Oh, yeah. You know. So they are spreading the wealth because now there's, you know, topic and talk about taxing these people more and stuff like that. And, you know, but Bill Gates, that's what he does. He basically goes to these billionaires and say, "Look, you really need to, you know, you got to get good. You can't just sit there and have a gold plated yacht. You know, we got to get you to, you know." So that's some of the things he's doing. That's where he goes out and tries to solicit donations for all these world, you know.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Thanks. But, I mean, but here's the thing. Doesn't it become bigger and bigger of a problem the more we see it? Like if I never saw a guy living in a huge house, I wouldn't be that down on my house.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
This is a weird topic for me because I really firmly believe that if you work your ass off for your money, you should enjoy the fruits of your labor and that is all you. But when you're talking about people that are like multi billionaires, come on, like.
It's
a weird topic for me.
It is interesting because, you know, except for, you know, listen, there's people that inherit it because unfortunately that's the line. There's people that have money, and if smart people have money, they're not going to lose it. So they're going to keep building the wealth per family, and hopefully, you know, and again, you know, there's usually spendthrift clauses and trusts of families for those members of the family who would spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, who would just go through it all.
Right.
So, but aside from that, so for the most part, it's self-preservation, it's self-preserving. It continues the build. You would think on natural momentum that wealth begets wealth. You know, it just gets bigger and bigger. And, you're right. I'm of that belief. I'm like just like in comedy, figuring about wealth. The harder you work, the more you're going to get. You know, you can't, you know, when people get mad at comics who are doing good, like, well, do you know what they've done to get there? Do you know sacrifices that they've done to get there? I had a conversation about somebody like, you know, this person, because they're talking about this other comic up in the Philly area. And I'm like, and the guy's like, he's talking about, hey, you know what? I'm busting my ass. And it was a similar conversation we had about somebody. And I'm like, and the guy's busting his ass. Meanwhile, this other comic I know, you know, he lives in Philly, but he goes all over. He's basically on the road almost like 3 weeks straight, like driving everywhere. He doesn't have enough money to fly, so he's busting his ass because he's driving everywhere, staying and sleeping in fucking rest stops. You know, he's not even getting hotels, this guy.
Right.
So here's another comic saying, I'm busting my ass, basically because he's running to open mic after open mic. And, you know, he's kind of like, what the fuck? You don't know what it's like. But that guy thinks he's busting his ass. He really does. I mean, in all honesty, the guy really thinks, because he doesn't have an understanding of what busting ass really means.
Well, I think it's like busting his ass for like where he's at. Like maybe he's not getting like gigs where he can travel to different states. If he's on that level, then you could kind of compare apples to apples. But if you're just starting with an open mic and you're just going to open mics, that's all you can do right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we get what we deserve.
Okay.
You know, I know. There's certain things like I'm never going to be a billionaire at this point. You know what I mean? There's certain things we know and we have to be comfortable with, right? To know oneself is to know God, even though John doesn't believe in God. But to know oneself is...
Why are you bullying him?
I'm not bullying him. I'm just... I don't want to expect him to say I'm right or I know what I'm talking about because, you know... But, you know, but it's an expression.
Do you have imaginary arguments with me in your head?
Well, you're being so quiet. I thought I would just throw you in. But, you know,
I haven't said a word in the last 5 minutes, and you've spoken for me like 3 times.
Well, listen, it's been so much more peaceful this way.
And like some people, John doesn't believe in God.
Yeah, he doesn't. But, like when you hear that expression.
Well, we shouldn't judge other people, right, Dougie?
When you hear that expression, to know oneself is to know God, right? I mean, that's a pretty good, profound moment in life when somebody reaches it, when you really feel that comfortable, like when you know who you are.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe you haven't reached that point then. I don't know. I'm just asking.
No, I get what you're saying, that, like, you know, to be at peace with who you are is to be accepting, and that is a godly type of moment and experience. Yeah,
you know,
I get it.
You know your shortcomings. You know what you're strong. You know, you kind of, you know, you're not going to get offended if somebody, when somebody says something, you know.
I still have hope I'm going to be a billionaire, though. Yeah, so well, listen,
trust me. I'm, you know, I keep playing. I don't play lottery, so what are you going to do? Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Talia Brahms.
Great to be here, Doug.
And John Levine, you there? John?
What?
John?
What?
Oh, you there, John?
Yeah. Still here.
Well, we'll come back. We'll have to brush up our comedic skills. We're going to go over some funny stories and straight from the headlines. You ready to be funny?
Who are you talking to?
Never mind. We'll be right back.
This is Talia Brahms with the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, giving you your daily dose of feminine energy and making sure these guys don't kill each other.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's time to talk about things that have happened around the world and make fun of it. Straight from the headlines. Our first story today has to do with a mother says she's done having children after giving birth to a 14-pound baby.
Yeah. Oof.
I bet there's a lot of other things that's not going to be done anymore.
I was just going
to
say.
How big were you when you were born, Dougie?
I don't know. I have to look at my birth. It's on our birth certificate.
You don't know how much you weighed when you were born?
Yeah, I remember. I did know at one point, but I can't remember now.
I was a
big baby.
Yeah, me too. How big were you, John?
I was 10 pounds, 4 ounces.
Damn. Okay, you beat me. I was 9 pounds, 8 ounces.
Not by much.
Yeah.
I beat you by much.
That's
a
right.
Big girl.
Butterball, yeah.
Man, you're like a Serena little. Williams coming out of there.
Pretty much.
Says here that
never got athletic, though.
Elamans, Louisiana, a Louisiana mother, thought she might be pregnant with twins, but it turned out to be one very large baby.
Ate the twin baby.
Her first two kids weighed a little over 7 pounds when they were born. Her third child was 11.9 pounds. But when she became pregnant with her fourth child, she didn't know what to expect. People come up to me and say, oh, I think that's twins and your triplet you got in there. But there was just one baby, and it weighed 14 pounds.
Natural birth?
Mm. Wow.
They had to have said if it was natural or C-section. I'm curious here. It had to have been C-section.
I don't
know.
I mean,
there's no way.
The husband was hoping, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, 14 pounds coming out of there.
Well, she's already had three babies, though. I mean, it's not. I mean, that thing was like
must have shot out
the tunnel at that point.
Must have shot out like a fucking ping pong ball.
That thing just fell out of her when she was like going to the market.
It was like you know, when they shoot the T-shirts out at the fucking
at the stadiums. Yeah,
it's a fucking 14-pound T-shirt. Right when the doctor was taking him out, my husband's mouth literally just dropped. She told the news that he was like, "That's a big baby." When he was born, he was 14 pounds, 1 ounce. I remember the nurse came running back, and she said, "My back! My back!" I'm like it. And when she told
baby
me that...
Baby slid out with a bag of Doritos and a TV remote.
No shit. A fucking Twinkie bar. Loyali Andadas Gover was born December 6th after spending 27 days in the final home of his mother, whatever. I don't know. Anyway, but that's big baby, man.
That had to have been like a world record.
I'm just 14 pounds. That's what I used to use a 15-pound ball when I went bowling.
Now, the baby that was born, my mother used to tell me the story, the baby that was born next to me in the hospital was 16 pounds.
No way.
Yeah, it was trying to eat John.
16 pounds?
Yeah, and this was 1973, so it's not like they had like all these, you know, kind of technologies where they knew. And my mother, because I remember the story, she said the doctor had to reach into the mother and break the baby's shoulder because he got wedged in the birth canal. Cool. That's how big the baby was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
How the hell does that happen?
Did they talk about this when they were sitting in the hospital beds next to each other?
I guess because I was
no,
so big,
the mother
like,
died.
A big baby, and the doctor was like, well, not really.
Look at the kid next to him.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's I think after kid number four being 14 pounds, she's probably officially done
yeah,
forever.
Yeah, she's done.
And shut that factory
yeah.
down.
Yeah, that thing's over. Speaking of mothers, man with mom's name tattooed on his chest is arrested for battering her.
That's, yeah, usually the guys that get their mom's names tattooed are batterers.
As mama's boys.
No, but, like, I mean, people that have, like, the heart with the mom and whatever. I mean, I'm not surprised.
But he had his mom, I mean, a Florida man who has his mother's full name tattooed on his chest. Boy, that's got to be like a fucking romantic, you know, imagine you're banging your girl, she's on top of you, and she's looking down, who's Glory? That's my mom.
I'm sure it's happened.
What the fuck? Was arrested early Saturday for showing the woman, shoving the woman to the ground during a confrontation in their residence. Investigators allege that Thomas Pinson, 21, battered his mother, Cameron, 47, around 3:45 a.m. Saturday. He grabbed his mother with two hands and shoved her backwards into the kitchen chair. She then fell to the ground and hit her head as a result of being shoved. Pinson, who fled his family's St. Petersburg home before police arrived, was subsequently apprehended and charged with domestic battery and being a pussy, beating up his mom. Terrible. You ever hit your mom?
No.
John, you ever hit one of your parents?
What do you think?
No. yeah.
What, have you hit one of your parents?
No, but I saw one of my older brothers kick my dad in the balls.
Well, that counts, kind
of. Yeah. I remember, you know, it was like one of those moments where, and I went nuts. I was young. I went nuts and started screaming and went after him and stuff. But all my brothers studied karate. So it was like, you know, it was funny. Like my mom was like 4'11" and she would yell at my older brothers like, you know, and then she'd come over and start to smack them and like hit them and, you know, like, you know, stop, you know, coming home late, drugs, whatever it was. And they'd start, you know, karate blocks. My mom would get bruises on her arm because she's getting blocked by my brothers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Feisty household.
Yeah, and then she started. Then she learned she just needed to throw heavy objects at him,
or just leave the room.
No, believe me, are you kidding? Yeah, these kids are all fucking drunk or fucked up and stuff. My brothers, and then you know they'd be instead of them leaving, just leave. I used to say, don't come if you're all fucked up. Don't, you know?
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
Be fucked up somewhere else.
Yeah. My dad used to always look at my brothers would come home. They'd go into the kitchen, like, dump, just go to bed. Why are you going to go? My dad would get out of his couch or his chair, and he'd go into the kitchen and turn the lights on and look at their eyes. Let me see your eyes. What the fuck with my eyes? Because they're all smoking pot.
No, that used to be me in high school, except they never needed to look at my eyes. I was right in front of the microwave.
Yeah, it's like 2 in the morning, and you got like a fucking Twinkie in the oven. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Speaking of food, Taco Bell is going national with fried chicken taco shells.
Oh, my.
Now, I can honestly tell you that Taco Bell, okay, it's a place, it's not somewhere I really go. But every once in a while, you know what I mean, there's nothing else around, and it's late, and you're like, I got $5, I want to eat.
Right.
Because you can get, for $5, you can get a
after
lot of
a show,
fucking
food. After a show, you're a little drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drinking usually has something to do with the choice of going to Taco Bell.
It's usually there.
Irvine, California, Taco Bell plans to go nationwide this month with its latest concoction, a taco with a shell made entirely of fried chicken. Sounds good to me.
I mean, it's probably amazing, but...
You've had like chicken rollantini, like where they take a chicken breast and they roll like ham and cheese in it, and then they kind of, you know, lightly fry it. And I mean, it's not bad. That's like an Italian dish. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Or I hope it doesn't go like that. Remember Kentucky Fried Chicken had that chicken sandwich with the two chicken as piece of chicken
the
in between
double
the two,
witch
the
or something.
Double down or whatever.
Yeah, double down.
That bacon and shit in it.
Yeah, but that thing went crazy. I mean, they still have that.
Do they?
They put that out of
it. I thought it went down. I thought
that was a huge seller for them.
Oh, I thought I heard opposite of that.
No, it's like the McRib. Like, it only comes around every now and then.
Yeah. Taco Bell says a shell of the naked chicken chalupa is made of all white seasoned chicken. The rest of the taco is packed with lettuce, tomatoes, cheddar cheese, avocado ranch sauce, and a bunch of goodness. And maybe somebody's menstrual blood. Oh, that was, what was that? Remember, I think it was Wendy's. Somebody in Wendy's or some fast food admitted that they
had
menstrual blood in a hamburger.
Oh, God.
The fast food chain says the taco tested well in markets in Bakersfield, California and Kansas City, Missouri over the past 2 years. They've had it for 2 years, those fucks?
Yeah, they always test it in those areas.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, like the people that would. Oh, sorry, John.
No, I was just going to say, I wonder what that does to the nutritional. I mean, you're taking away the tortilla, which is not the greatest thing in the world for you, and like adding more protein. In, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, right. Fried, but.
But yeah, wonder, but the I
wonder,
fry.
I wonder how much it alters. I wonder how, but it probably doesn't alter it that much.
I think we should get some free ones sent to us, and we'll decide how much it alters the.
Kind of sounds delicious.
I mean, if it could fit in my hand, I'll eat it.
That's true.
I'm going to try it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Let us know how you guys feel about it on our Twitter at Wake Up Dougie.
I think everyone like is so repulsed by Taco Bell and it's horrible. And then the second they get a few beers in them, they're like, got to try that thing, man.
Let's go to Taco Bell. Yeah.
We're all victim of it.
Yeah, it's not a good time. Like, no. I mean, yeah. That's one thing I love about being in different airports. Like, some places have really great places to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's like you go like the difference. Okay, you have the same Sbarro's, whatever these places.
Right.
But then some places have really like.
What's the best airport for dining that you've been to?
Hmm.
Wow, Miami's got really good Cuban food.
Yeah,
I would imagine. Yeah,
you like Cuban food. Miami International's got great Cuban food.
Yeah, I actually, speaking of Cuban, when I was in, where the hell was I? It must have been Albuquerque. Yeah, when I was in Albuquerque,
mm-hmm.
flying home, there was a bar there, like a brewery type bar, nice, you know, steak plate, whatever it was. And I had the Cuban sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always get a little nervous buying a Cuban sandwich in Albuquerque, New Mexico, as opposed to Miami or, you know.
Right.
Up until this point, the best Cuban sandwich I've had, I shared with Joey mm-hmm. Medina. Our friend of the show here, comic, Joey Medina,
right now.
When we were at in St. Augustine at, I don't remember the name now, but Lady Bird or whatever it was, Lady Bird's over there where the hotel they put us at, fucking Cuban, we were eating that. But this place had a great Cuban sandwich.
Hmm, look at that.
This sandwich is so good, I gave the you know, my bartender a $10 tip. You know, the bill was $80. No, it was like $30, whatever. You know what I mean? It was like, thanks. Because I asked her, what's good? She goes, oh, and I said, I love Cubans, but yeah, so. But yeah, I mean, listen.
There's good food all over the country. It doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, more airports are getting better and better places. You don't have the regular, you know, Asian place, the pizza place.
Like a Burger King.
Yeah.
DFW actually has a lot of restaurants in it, too.
Yeah. Where?
DFW's Dallas-Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a ton of restaurants, but like barbecue places and like really well known. Like,
oh, nice!
Yeah,
I always like what I know that it's like stupid, but I like a Chili's bar where you just can get like a quesadilla and beers, and I always get so Chili's. Excited when I see it.
Why don't you go eat at Applebee's while you're
but
at
like
it?
But like at an airport, whatever.
Ugh.
They got a huge bar.
Chili's too, not just Chili's. Right?
Chili's yeah. to go, actually.
Yeah. Here's a story: man accused of repeatedly sexually assaulting a pit bull.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, I fucked him once. Oh, boy, it was so good. I got to go back. He's a Florida guy, too.
Shocker. Ugh.
Yeah.
Gosh, where are all these people?
A roommate tells police she estimates he abused the family dog over 100 times. A man in Pensacola, Florida is charged in the repeated sexual assault of a pit bull over about 3.5 years. Bradley,
so was it like the 102nd time that really kind of was the straw that broke
yeah,
the camel's back?
I was,
she decided to call the cops.
I was just gonna say, was she like tallying this? And she's like, "Man, this you know pit bull fucking thing's getting old."
Yeah,
yeah, like
I let the first 103 times go, but 104.
It was kind of funny the first 80 times, but now
she went to the Obama class of making threats. A man of Pensacola, Florida, is charged 3.5 years. I get, after a while, they probably got lax. You know, they didn't want to cover it up. You know, like he probably just you know. Left, the, you know, he's like, he probably pushed everything away before anybody got home. And eventually, he's like, I'm sleeping with the dog. So what? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm not wearing any pants.
I don't think that's something that you kind of like loosen up with over time.
Well, I'm just, you know,
I think
he must
you guard
have.
That secret pretty heavily.
You would hope. I mean, fuck. The accuser.
That's true. I would hope, but what do I know about our residents here in Florida?
The roommate accused them. The accuser told police she estimated she had seen Hubbard take the dog to his bedroom for sexual abuse at least 100 times.
I'm going to throw up.
She claims she witnessed Hubbard assault the dog when she looked through a hole in his door that had been caused by a violent outburst. The witness also said she heard the dog cry out in pain during episodes that she said escalated during 2016. She told police Hubbard brushed off questions by saying the victimized animal was in heat. Obviously, he was taking care of that. His roommate also told officers she didn't report it earlier. because she did not want to get Hubbard in trouble. She didn't seem to give a fuck about the poor pit bull. The accuser said Hubbard took the dog from her room on December 28th and then appeared to be abusing it in his room. She decided to contact the police, according to the TV station. The dog was taken to a veterinarian for tests. According to the Pensacola News Journal, it reportedly showed signs of abuse, and the police report said the dog is very aggressive. $15,000 bond, and you go into jail being known as somebody who fucks a pit bull.
And not even like Mr. 305.
Yeah. I mean,
the best kind of pit bull.
That's right. Hey, I fuck pit bull. You fuck Mr. 305? No. An actual.
Yeah, pit sure. Pit. Whatever.
Hey, no para la fiesta. Keep fucking el perro.
Great.
San Francisco man returns a 100-year-old overdue library book.
Wait, what? The book is over 100 years old or was it overdue by over 100 years?
I think it was overdue by 100 years. That's what it sounds like.
Over 100-year-old overdue. It's over 100 years overdue.
What is it? His dad got it when he was a kid and now...
It's the fucking Constitution.
I put a pair of my dad's old pants on and I found this. San Francisco.
So like made with papyrus? That's crazy.
A book of short stories titled 40 Minutes Late has been returned to a San Francisco library 100 years late. San Francisco Chronicle reports that a Bay Area resident, Webb Johnson, returned the book on Friday. There was no fine. Johnson's great-grandmother had checked it out from the city's old Fillmore branch in 1917. She passed away a week before the due date. Yeah, likely story.
I would have returned it, but...
And the Fillmore branch is no longer around, so what was I supposed to do? Johnson found the 1909 book by F. Hopkinson Smith in an old steamer trunk in 1996. He assumed the library wouldn't want it back. But he recently announced fine forgiveness. Could you imagine? He's like, fuck, this thing's like 80 years old. I'm not going to bring it back. I'm going to have to mortgage the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck him.
A day for 100 years.
Even if it was fine forgiveness, like I feel like at that point I'd be like, you know what?
No one came a calling for it.
I'm pretty sure they cut their losses at this point.
Well, thank it's like they found this book after 100 years. Thank God they found that girl after 18.
Yeah. Well,
right?
There you go.
The finding. So the forgiveness program that runs through February 14th inspired him to return it. So whoever had that idea should be good idea at the library. I got an idea. But now, could you imagine now the library's thinking, fuck, we could have collected thousands of dollars in fees. We should have told them, no, we were going to forgive only the first $100. But you owe us $10,000.
Fine forgiveness after 10 days.
You owe us $195,000 minus $10. Good luck with that. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Tanya Bronson for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
John Levine from our Atlanta studios.
I'm right here.
There you go. And thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget tomorrow, I think Peter Leonard will be here and Elgin David will be here. This Wednesday, Wise Guys Comedy Show is going to be unbelievable. I'll be your host along with special guest Mike Marino. The Jersey Bad Boy is in town. He's going to be doing a spot. Our feature, Mike Charette, and our headliner, Danny Bevins, his first time at Tavolino's. Just $10 come out this week. Thursday, I'll be at Rocky Gap Casino in Cumberland, Maryland, along with John Levine here.
And on, yes, sir.
And on Friday, I'm going to be at Pipe Stem Spa in Pipe Stem, West Virginia, along with Jay Bliss, very funny comic. For more dates, go to DougAlmeida.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. John?
You can read my website, JohnLevineComedy.com.
And Talia?
You can follow me on social media, Talia Brahms, or Talia B. Comedy on Twitter.
There you go. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll be back here tomorrow, right here at the same spot. Take care.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And yellow colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the Earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun.
your eye of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beaming light hit the ground.